So how's Lent going, huh? Going okay? Some of you are shaking your head yes, and others are trying to hide behind the pew. Okay? But we're less than halfway through. There's plenty of time. So get on board, right? And I would suggest these marvelous scriptures that we have, both this C cycle, which we're reading now, the A, which is a part of the convert, the scrutinies that will take place. I think the first one is next Sunday, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock here, the marvelous story of the woman at the well this year. In any case, let's look at these scriptures and let's keep them instructing our journey for this season. The gospel tells us that someone suffers. They used examples Jesus did of a tower that fell and killed people that were killed because of murder. And the question is why? Why do people suffer? And when we see someone suffering, what is our instinct? What's our reaction? What are we thinking? Are we thinking they're a victim, or do we think they get what they deserve? Whose fault? There has been a tradition that seems to hang on, despite what Jesus says to us today, that people suffer because of their sins. Well, I think there's a reason that hangs on, because it's so easy to blame them. It's so easy to say it's their fault. Because then I don't have to act. I don't have I don't have to even show I care, because it's all they're doing, right? And Jesus makes it clear that is not the case. People suffer not because they did wrong or deserve it. What they deserve is our compassion and our help. Why do bad things happen to people, even good people? Well, why indeed? It could be just happenstance. Wrong place, wrong time. It could be the consequence of people's actions, either their own or that of others. It could be because others have failed to act, and too often this is the case. So much suffering could and should be alleviated if Christians were Christians in their compassion and in their actions. These days, especially in the news, we see immigrants and refugees struggling for life, and the poor. Let's not dismiss our responsibilities through judgment or blaming or fear. Like the gardener in today's gospel, let us do what we can to give life a chance. It seems that rather than shielding the good from evil, God suffers with them. God told Moses, "I see my people suffering. I hear their cry against injustice." And because God saw and heard and knew intimately that they were suffering, God sent Moses to save his people. The God's name that he gave to Moses at the bush, I am. Mysterious, yes. Active, though, I am. In other words, when we are needy, God is there as provider. When we are frightened, God is comforter and strength. When we stray, God is judge and disciplinarian. God comes in whatever way we most need divine aid. Jesus, too, came sent by the Father because he saw the people suffering. The Spirit has anointed me to proclaim liberty to captives, he said. God's saving action doesn't just fly down from the clouds. It comes through people whom the Spirit moves and empowers to act in the name of God on behalf of life, the God who is love. And he chose you, he chose me, and told us to come and follow. What do these readings offer us then as we reach the halfway point in our Lenten journey? First, they warn us against judging others, reminding us that oftentimes, in fact, all the times, our judgments are not fair, they're not honest, they're not objective. It reminds us, too, that we don't deserve this amazing life that we have been given. And it also reminds us that God is never the source of human suffering. They tell us that God is not far, precisely because we who see the suffering are commissioned to act like Moses and like the Son of God. And like Jesus, the Spirit of God empowers us to act in his name. If we believe that, then we preach the gospel by living it. God chose Moses, actually kind of thrust him into the role. Others might be, well, in the right place at the right time. Others might have the talent that God needs to alleviate suffering in some capacity. But all of us are called by name in the servant of God and his healing of humanity. We are standing on holy ground because God is calling us. We have Christ, of course, who reveals to us God's majesty, but also God's care, his power, his compassion, his desire to communicate with us and to save us. Now, Paul, in our second reading, is speaking using the Hebrew people wandering in the desert as an example. God acts on their behalf, but they failed to change their hearts. They grumbled, and God was not pleased. They were like that tree in the gospel that did not bear fruit, and they are us. But this is Lent. We are called to that change of heart. The gospel story begins with a sense of urgency. The owner, I want that fruit and I want it now, right? Cut the tree down if it doesn't bear fruit. But there's also, we could apply that to Lent. It's half over, right? Time to get going. But also it encourages patient waiting. And maybe that's the reason Lent hasn't gotten off to a fast start for you. Maybe you just need more patience, more patient listening to where the Lord is calling you. Jesus is telling us in today's parable that while doing the work of Lent, having patience with ourselves and with others, we do the best we can and assume that they are doing so as well. Let the grace of God tend your soil. The Psalms proclaim, "Merciful and gracious is God, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness towards those who fear him." Our gospel ends with an unwritten future. What will become of that tree? There are possibilities that it didn't have before, opportunities, and that's what we have in the season of Lent. This is a time of grace, a time to repent and for us to change directions, a time for healing the suffering and the poor, for offering hope to those who are down, a time for new growth, and a time to bear fruit.